You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Welcome into Two Peas on a Podcast, woo! Episode 64.
It's a party in here.
It's 64.
Man.
I like Fallout Boy, don't you?
Is this Fallout Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be one of my favorites of theirs. This is the weird video with the guy is hunting a deer, but it has a human face.
That's so existential. Not even, existential. That's not the word for it. It's a message. I'm hunting a deer, but the deer is a person.
Yeah.
It has a face.
It has feelings.
It's not just venison.
I feel like it's dark in here. Is it dark in this room?
Yeah. It just can't got even, dark with that Fallout Boy.
Can't even read my notes here. What is this?
Yes.
All right. Welcome into episode 64.
Yeah.
Fallout Boy opening us up there. Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here.
Andy
is, of course, here. Welcome in, everyone. We're going to talk about some stuff that's going on this week. As we do, first-time listeners, we get together, we talk about current events, politics, pop culture. We wrap it up for the world.
People wait to hear what we have to say about these things.
Honestly, it's really just an excuse for us to look at each other for an hour, though.
I mean, in the dark. Is that why it's dark in here?
I was going to say, I can't see you today, but typically I can. I don't know what's happening. This is the romantic show.
64, the show of romance.
Maybe it's usually sunny out and we have more light coming in.
It is dark today.
I don't know. It's weird.
It's cold. It's dark and cold here.
There's some dark topics.
Dark and cold, brother.
So it goes along with what we're talking. How was your week? What's going on?
Anything going on? You could say it's stormy.
Ah. Look at this guy coming through with the puns early, brother. I like it. You're taking my dad jokes from me, though.
Yeah.
Don't take too many of them.
I'm so sorry.
What's going on this week besides your constant Stormy Daniels viewings and effort to get ready for the show?
I had a good week. Kids running around being crazy.
You had kids?
I had kids.
Wow. That was a good
running
week.
Running around being crazy, working, speaking at the church, doing sermons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just had a full week of work. As usual for me. Mm-hmm. Got a couple days coming off this weekend and got a wedding coming up.
Yeah.
Hopefully get a little bit of downtime, a little bit of QT with the fam.
A little QT.
I haven't had a lot of that lately. I've been working my booty off, brother.
What do you do?
That's why I have
QT
no booty.
Time. What is your favorite thing to do, QT with the kids?
You know, my son runs the show, man. So whatever he wants to do. I mean, he literally runs the show.
Yeah.
So we have a membership to the museum locally. So they have a lot of fun stuff.
Shout out Durham Life and Science
Museum. That's right. Yeah, you've been there.
Shout outs.
They have a lot of fun stuff for him. So we'll go there with him. We'll take him to the park. Whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants.
Every once in a while, I get something to eat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Ice cream. I don't know. What do the kids do? He loves to do all that stuff. Every once in a while, he'll surprise us, you know, like I want to go to like the pet store so you can see the fish.
My kids used to love going to the pet store.
Yeah.
Like looking at the animals, looking at the fish.
Yeah, it's a thing, right?
I love that.
It's a thing, right? I don't want to buy anything when I go there. I'm afraid he's going
to
want to buy
something. It's like the poor man's zoo.
Basically.
I'll take you to the pet store. Can't get anything.
We can't go to the zoo, but you know what? PetSmart opens at 10 a.m. I'll be there. all right, so let's get into some topics, Andy.
Let's do it.
Let's get through this about an hour or so. We're talking about some stuff going on in the last
or
week.
Or so being highlighted.
So let's see. Got some entertainment stuff on our first book in here, as we
Wonderful.
Always do. And I want to start by apologizing to all of our, not all of our listeners, but the majority of them, because I'm a bachelor freak. You know,
yes.
You know this.
Yes,
and
I do know this.
We've gone a while without talking about it. Everyone's thankful.
Our listenership has been increasing every week.
I know. And here I go again.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that we've gone about a year, really. I mean,
really?
We may have mentioned it occasionally, but we've gone about a year without really talking about A Bachelor Story. And when we started the show, we started it in conjunction with a new season that was out at the time.
Well, we talked about that lady who went missing.
We talked about her.
Yes.
Yes.
Who ended up on The Bachelor.
That's right. But I mean, not a lot of Bachelor. I kind of kept myself at bay there a little bit for the most part.
Yes.
But I got to bring it up this week.
Okay.
Because it was a big news story on social media.
Okay. Was it the season finale or something?
It was the season finale.
Okay.
And there was a mad plot twist, brother.
Was there?
So now,
Tell me about it.
So now I know you don't watch.
I'm opening the flood doors.
Yeah, so I know you don't watch. So what I'll do is I'll set it up for you. And then I want to get your opinion on what you think of this guy.
Okay.
Because it's been some hate flowing. It's been some haterade flowing out there.
Okay, haterade?
So, So let me set this up for you and for all the listeners, okay? So everybody knows what the Bachelor is, I assume. So he gets down.
Unfortunately, we all do.
If you listen to this show, you definitely do because I won't shut up about it. But it gets down to the last two women. All right.
Okay. How many women does it start with?
Like 30.
30. So two women. He's down to two women.
He's down to two for the finale, and he's got to make up his mind who he wants to propose to. Of the final two.
They always propose.
I feel like maybe there's certain ones that haven't, but that's the idea.
Okay.
All right.
So down to two women.
Yeah. So the gentleman's name is Ari.
Ari.
He is a professional race car driver from Arizona.
Wonderful.
You know, hey, Bachelor's a handsome guy. You know, he's got the salt and pepper gray hair thing
going.
Love
the salt and pepper. Love it.
You know, he seems like a nice guy, down to earth. He's handsome. You know,
he's a race car driver.
He's the Bachelor. You know, he's the image of what you would think of the Bachelor.
Okay.
So he gets down to his final two women. Okay. A young lady named Becca, who is a brunette.
Becca the brunette?
Yeah.
Becca?
Minnesota she's from.
Minnesota.
And then he has a blonde, complete opposite from a looks standpoint, blonde hair, blue-eyed Lauren from Virginia Beach.
So we got Lauren and Becca.
We got Lauren and Becca.
Final two.
He loves both of them.
He does.
He's actually told both of them that he loves them.
Have they responded? Of course they do.
Yes.
They
of
win.
Course they do, yes. So they all, he has basically two girlfriends at this point. Okay. So he's got to decide which one do I love more, which one do I see a future with more.
Okay.
So now I'm going to set this up for
now,
you.
Now have you.
Now let me get through this because I don't want to.
Okay.
Because if not, I'll spend the whole hour talking about it.
Okay.
So real quick, and then I'm going to tell you what happened. Then you give me your initial reaction. Have you seen any of the social media stuff?
No.
Oh, you're hearing it for the first time. Okay.
I tried desperately not to.
So he decides on Becca.
Okay.
Now they're in Peru.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Minnesota Becca.
Yes. Now they're in Peru for the finale. This is where the final week was.
Okay.
So he decides on Becca.
Okay, Becca.
So first thing he does, he breaks up with Lauren because you have to
break it to
her. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know, I wanted this to work, but I see more with her. Like,
got it.
You know, thanks for the ride. Have a nice life.
How does Lauren react? How does she react to this?
She's very sad. She cries.
Of
she leaves
she
in
does.
The limo.
Got it.
You know, this happens every year on the show. People get their heart broken.
Of course they do.
So she
it's
leaves.
The Bachelor.
So she leaves. She's heartbroken. And she's like asking him, how could you do this? Like, you told me you loved me yesterday. Like, what the hell's going on? So she leaves, goes back to Virginia.
Okay.
All right. So then next up's Becca. And of course, we know he's going to pick Becca. So Becca comes up.
Okay,
he goes through her spiel as to why he loves her. He wants to spend the rest of his life with her. Just everything you would, as a woman, you would hope to hear from the person proposing to you. He gets down on one knee. He proposes to her.
Bam.
She accepts.
Okay, good.
All right,
end of show.
All right,
move on. Next topic.
Stand by. This is where it gets a little plot twister, bro. So Ari and Becca get engaged. Now, this often happens at the end of The Bachelor. And I think, and this is, I'm not trying to be funny here, but out of 22 seasons, I want to say three couples are still together. So it's not like it's an everlasting thing.
I mean,
but
you meet over a alcohol-induced like paradise vacation trip,
and
then you go into the real world and realize that, you know.
Right.
I mean, come on.
So, so Becca and Ari are engaged.
Okay.
Like you said, the show is typically over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go back to the States. They leave Peru.
Okay.
And Ari starts to have these kind of internal battles with himself.
How do you know? Are we following him?
Yes. That's the thing. So the show stayed with them in the weeks after.
Does it always do this or this is...
It does, but it doesn't always air anything because typically it's just normal
shit.
But
this time they're like, ooh, we got some juice.
So let me fast forward here because, again, I don't want to take up too much time.
Internal battle.
Too late.
Internal battle.
But anyway, he keeps thinking about Lauren.
Oh, goodness.
And he feels like he made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
And he feels like he should have picked Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth.
He can't stop thinking about her. Grass is greener.
He asks Becca if he can call Lauren. She says, yeah, go ahead. He calls Lauren. He decides he was actually calling her to say, get closure. But he called her and realized, you know, when he heard her voice, he still wants to be with her. So to make a long story short, he then, and again, this is all on camera. He then decides to break it off with Becca so that he could pursue it with Lauren.
Oh, my goodness. What a plot twist.
And this is after breaking Lauren's heart in Peru and getting engaged to Becca in Peru.
Is Lauren still going to say yes?
Well, I'll fast forward to let you know. She did accept him back. She took him back. And then not only that, and this is spoiler alert for any Bachelor fans out there that haven't seen it, on the After the Final Rose, which is like their wrap-up show, he proposed to Lauren at the end of that.
Fascinating.
So he's been engaged like twice in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So now, after everything I just told you, what do you think of this guy? Do you think he did the right thing by following his heart here? Do you think he just is a prick?
Hmm.
It's kind of torn on social media, but a lot of people kind of think he's a little bit of a you-know-what here. What do you think?
Well,
after hearing it for the first time,
I think it sounds like to me he's honestly at least following what he thinks is are his feelings. Yeah. But I mean, think about the power trip and think about how much emphasis you have to put on your choice here, because you're a bachelor with these 30 women throwing themselves at you.
Yeah.
You're in this paradise. You're always drinking and you're in this kind of love-induced arena, and all of a sudden it comes down and you have to choose, but then you leave that arena and you go back to the real world, and of course you're always going to wonder, did I make her the right choice? Because honestly, love's not about choices, it's about falling in love. You don't choose to fall, you fall.
Right.
So the problem here is the emphasis is on it's a contest and I have to make a choice. So of course he's going to be confused, of course he's not going to know if he did the right thing, because the choice is given to him and it's not supposed to be about a choice. So like, I don't think he's authentically a prick. I just think anytime that you're given that much ego and power, that of course half the country is going to hate you no matter what, because they're rooting for these girls. But I mean, it sounds like to me he's doing what he authentically believes is right.
Right.
Or he's trying to
find
something.
Well, my thing is, as a bachelor,
like, I don't think he's doing it just to like, hey, let me stir up the pot.
As a bachelor super fan, I'm not mad at him for what he did. All I think is he should not have proposed to Becca.
If he wasn't sure.
Right. Because he obviously knew he was
torn.
But
the pressure was on. Isn't he supposed to propose?
And he said that.
That's the thing.
But,
I have to choose.
But the bachelor doesn't take his free choice away from him. I mean, he could have easily said, like, Becca, I choose you, but I want to see how this goes before I ask you. Now, whether she'd have been down with that or not, I don't know. But do you see what I'm saying? He had an opportunity to be like, I'm going to pick Becca, but I'm not necessarily going to get engaged to her right this second in time.
Did you say most of the bachelors do get engaged?
Yeah, I would say probably 90% of them.
See, the pressure's on.
I feel it,
for him to make a decision and choose, quote, the perfect
girl. Yeah, no, I feel it. Well, you could look on social media. It's everywhere. I mean, people freaked out because he broke this girl, Becca. Really, he broke both of them's heart in the same, like, week. And then he's just kind of flip-flopping.
Are you surprised
really
the other girl took him back?
Not really. They were made for each other. That's another thing. I thought it was really weird that he didn't pick her to begin with.
Okay.
Lauren. I feel like him and Lauren were literally, like, the whole time I'm like, oh, they're perfect together. Like, I like Becca. She's great. She got chosen as the next bachelorette, by the way.
Wonderful.
Becca, so there's a silver lining there.
But is that the takeaway?
But she's going to be the next bachelorette. But anyway, we can move on past the bachelor. I'm a super fan, and my wife and I it was just one of those things where it was like, wow. Now, what do you think about ABC filming all of it? That's another thing. ABC and The Bachelor have been getting some heat because, people are like, why are you airing all this shit out? Like, this stuff can happen behind closed doors. How do you feel about that?
Well, can you really draw the line? Oh, this is too much.
Yeah, you go
this
on that
stuff
show.
Should
for,
happen behind right. closed doors. I mean, of course, if it's juicy and they're going to get the ratings, of course they're going to air it.
And
what
I
think all of this should happen behind closed
and
doors.
And Ari said,
falling in love should happen behind closed
doors. Yeah, true,
come
true,
on.
True. And Ari, you should have 30 chicks over your house behind closed doors. Ari said, Ari said that he wanted it to air so that people could see it was all on him.
Ooh,
he didn't want anybody to think it was Lauren's fault or Becca's fault or any kind of mutual thing. Like,
hey,
it was all inside him. You know what I mean? So I don't know. All right, let's talk about so that's a little bachelor. That's the only bachelor for like the last year, brother.
Okay, good.
I feel good about it. And I know that we don't have a lot of bachelor fanatics that listen to our show, but it was big in social media and around the news this week. So it was kind of a bomb drop.
Yeah. What'd your wife think about it, by the way, real quick?
She prefers Becca.
Okay.
But I think she kind of is with the rest of the world that already kind of fucked up there.
Okay.
Like, he didn't need to be proposing to all these women. And I don't know why he proposed to Lauren at the end of that special. Like, just wait, bro.
Like,
you got a lot of shit going on.
You
don't need to be engaged every time you go on TV.
You want to live in the real world. Like, when I always, I think it's a good idea for couples actually to live together before they get married. That's just my opinion. Because you need to experience each other
living
in the real world.
Living in sin, brother. Yeah, man. Look at this guy.
You need to experience the real world. I mean, I want to love you in the midst of my turmoil. I want to love you at your worst. I want to love you at your best. I want to see what it's like before work, after work. You want to coexist with someone.
You don't want to see what it's like for me before work, after work. Well, you see before work.
Patience.
You often see me before work.
I have so much respect. I have so much respect for your wife that she puts up with
you.
And she lives with this.
You should, brother.
She lives with
this. She is a true American hero, brother. All right, listen. Let's move on past the bachelor. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest here and talk about blah, 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 blah. All right. Okay. Let's see. Let's talk about the Oscars.
Hey.
Can you believe I watched it?
I can't.
I watched
the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing. Really? I didn't get home until about 8:30 that evening, so I missed the opening credits and stuff. But the opening number and whatnot. But I watched the majority of the show. Mm-hmm. My wife watched it with me. We watched it here on the couch.
Really? good.
I could, and we never watch, especially the whole thing.
Yeah, it's long. Like, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah, like Grammys, Oscars. We never watched the whole thing, but we watched all of it. We went to bed late that night. I don't know why. It was weird. Maybe I was doing it for the show. I don't know. But let's talk a little bit about the winners.
So well, how was Jimmy Kimmel, first of all?
It was good. I want to ask you, we can talk about it now if you want, but it got a little, did you see any of the things I sent you? It got a little political.
Are you surprised?
No, it always does.
Well, yeah.
There was a lot of activism.
Of course there is.
Discussion.
Of
and,
course there is.
You know, he joked about Trump, and which is fine.
Yeah.
He's hilarious when he does that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had the battle with his son, with the healthcare this mm-hmm. past year. And I mean, he personally went through a lot that
yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Being affected by a lot of the policies that they're presenting.
Well, think about so, it. If you think about it, we all have opinions and we all want our voice to be heard. We all want, you know, we all look, I mean, look at social media. We all want to say what we want to say and have other people hear it. We
yeah.
all want to be validated for our feelings and yeah. beliefs. But these folks here are in the limelight.
Right.
They have a voice.
Right.
And now that it's becoming acceptable and almost expected, but acceptable, of course they're going to say something.
Right.
When they get up on stage and like, hey, everyone's listening to me now. How can I not? So on the one hand, it's kind of, it's weird that it's kind of expected now. But on the other hand, they have a voice. How are they not going to say something?
Right, right, right.
Especially when it's all, a lot of this, the Me Too stuff, a lot of it's happening in their environment, in their backyard.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we said when we were talking about, I believe it, what was it, the Grammys?
Yeah.
Or the Globes,
yeah,
maybe the Golden Globes.
Streep, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, Meryl Streep. Yeah. And, you know, then Trump came back at her on Twitter. And yeah. of course he did.
Of course.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they have a stage. And then the arguments often made, I'm mm-hmm. not trying to get too deep right okay. now, but the arguments often made, like, people don't tune in for politics. They tune in to see movie stars win awards, you know, and they see
and that's true.
Numbers,
and that's true.
Numbers performed on stage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I see both sides of it, but I mean, so many people are being affected, especially in Hollywood with
yeah.
Me Too and
oh,
Time's
absolutely.
Up. And
yeah.
I mean, what are they going to
And the
not
whole world's looking
anything?
At them. They're like, they become
right.
like a microcosm, or they become like under a microscope. Like the whole world's looking at
right,
you.
Right, right.
You know?
So Trump tweeted at Kimmel, like, you know, congratulations on hosting the lowest rated Oscars ever, which is actually true. It's a true statement.
Even with you and your wife watching?
Yeah, I know. We didn't put him over the edge. But he tweeted that at him, and Kimmel responded. He said, oh, thanks for noticing, lowest rated president ever.
Oh! Oh! Whoa.
Zinger. Zinger. Okay, let's talk about some of the winners.
Okay.
So we talked about the nominees when they came out a couple months ago. I tell you what racked up, brother, was The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water?
We've talked about that. The Merman Erotica.
Yeah. Merman Erotica. Have you seen that yet? Have you watched it yet?
No, really want to see it, especially now. But it won Best Picture.
The Shape of Water.
Best movie of the year, brother.
Really? I got to check that out. My wife and I are going to have to cuddle up on the couch and watch that.
Guillermo del Toro won for Best Director from that film.
He's done other things. What else has he done? Because I feel like I've heard his name.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Probably his
That's a great movie.
Probably his most popular.
French subtitles or Spanish subtitles.
Let's see. Gary Oldman finally won. Darkest Hour.
Okay.
He portrayed Winston Churchill in that film. During
Didn't he also win World something else this year?
Golden Globe. Yep. And Screen Actors Guild, I believe, as well. He had the trifecta there. Frances McDormand, which was expected, won for 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. You ever been to Ebbing, Missouri?
I've never seen those
Have
billboards.
A lot of billboards there?
I'm sure they do.
Let's see. Best Director we talked about. Best Supporting Actress was Allison Janney from I, Tanya. She plays Tanya Harding's mom in that movie.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And there was a real cute picture that went viral of her from her the set of Mom, which is the CBS comedy that she's on after she won her Oscar. Let's see. Sam Rockwell won for Supporting.
Okay.
My daughter was very excited because James Ivory won for Call Me By Your Name, which is the best screenplay.
Okay.
And
she that movie?
She
read
that
movie?
She read that book. Saw the movie after. She just is in love with that movie this year.
Okay.
Now this one is, we're talking about politics and activism.
Okay.
This was huge.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
Tell me.
So original screenplay.
Original screenplay.
Original.
It's not from
material.
A book. It's not
right,
from
right.
a story. It's okay.
Yeah, Call Me By Your Name was adapted.
Yeah.
But best original screenplay, the winner was Jordan Peele for Get Out.
Okay.
Now, that's the African American gentleman. You know Key and Peele.
Yes.
So he's one half of that duo. And he
wrote that?
Yeah, he wrote it and directed it.
Get Out?
No, I'm serious. See
no,
what we did there?
Because he's a comedian, but Get Out wasn't it was like a dark.
I mean, it had funny parts, but it was like a dark
really?
Comedy. It was like
I
a dark
had no
horror
no idea
comedy.
He did that. That's
yeah.
wonderful.
So anyway, it was a huge thing because he's the first African-American to win that award.
Is he the taller one?
And
oh, the shorter one.
He's the shorter one.
Okay.
The shorter one. Yeah, I do love them both, though.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Key is recently on that Netflix show, Friends from College, which
okay.
is hilarious, too.
Yeah.
But they're both great. I love them, and when they get together, it's hilarious,
so he
too.
Won best
original screenplay. Yeah, for Get Out. And it's kind of a like a, you know, activist moment because it's a minority.
Yeah.
This is a movie that got a lot of flack for being considered a comedy in the Golden Globes. It got a lot of flack for being nominated. Some of the older people in the Academy came out and said this isn't an Oscar film, you know, because it's not.
What is an Oscar
uppity
film?
And doesn't have Daniel Day-Lewis in it, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, so I was really excited that he won. I wish. Now, I love Guillermo del Toro, we just talked about. But my personal opinion for anybody that cares, which is probably no one, I wish that Greta Gerwig had won Best Director for Lady Bird.
Oh, yes.
Because then you got the first woman director. Well, not the first one, but the first one in several years. And then you got the first African-American gentleman over here. I told my daughter the Oscars had a chance to be super woke this year. You know, they could have just done some stuff here. Now, I didn't see all of the films.
Yeah.
So I can't really make an educated decision, but I would have loved to have seen that just from an activist standpoint.
It's nice.
I thought it would have been cool to kind of represent all those.
And it is nice that in our society, we're beginning to recognize the talents of different types of people, different kinds of voices.
Yeah.
Because although... Exactly. You never want to.
And like you said with Black Panther, I hate to interrupt you, but that's exactly right. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You're more articulate than I am. But that's right, because people, young people, see themselves on screen now. They see themselves, people like them writing movies and winning awards and
identification. You identify with your heroes. There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
You identify with your heroes.
Exactly. If there was fat old bald dudes winning awards, I'd be like, oh my God, I can do this.
Like, you never want an Oscar to be chosen. This. You never want an award to be given just because someone
you didn't get that
is
joke?
A woman or an African American.
You didn't get that joke?
No.
I said if fat old bald dudes could get up on stage and win, I could look at myself and go, wow, I can really make it.
But it's nice in these awards that like you said, the wokeness, the level of awareness is expanding to allow those types of individuals to be considered. So it's good. It's just about consciousness, brother. Expanding.
That's all I'm saying. Last thing.
Woken it up. And yes, fat bald men can make a difference.
That's what I'm saying. Guillermo del Toro is a little overweight. So I felt something when he was up there. He went up there with the cane and everything. All right. So the other awards.
This is like me. The other like looking in the mirror.
The other awards that happened last week were the Razzies. Which are given out.
Did you see the in memory?
We're going to talk about that in a second. Hold on.
I loved it. I was like, oh, that's so dark and twisted.
So the Razzies is the worst
yes.
movies of the year. I'll just tell everyone real quick. The Emoji Movie was the winner for worst movie of the year.
My daughters loved that movie.
I did too.
It's a kid's movie.
My son's all over it.
Dude, it's a kid's movie.
Tyler Perry won for worst actress for being Madea. In a Madea Halloween. Tom Cruise, worst actor for The Mummy.
Oh, goodness.
What else is... let's see. The worst remake, ripoff, or sequel was the new 50 Shades movie.
Okay.
Which my wife saw.
Baywatch, So Bad You'll Love It.
Baywatch won So Bad You'll Love It. Yeah.
Which is kind of
The Rock put a little video online of him accepting his Razzie.
Yeah. See, that's called humility.
He embraced it.
Not taking yourself too seriously. Okay, I'll take this.
He embraced it.
I'll take
it. Let's talk about the In Memoriam at the Oscars.
In Memoriam. Because the Oscars actually did one. Now you're talking about the Oscars.
The Oscars, They did the In Memoriam. And Tom Petty's song, what was it, Room at the Top?
Yeah.
By Eddie Vedder. What do you think? Because you're a huge fan of Pearl Jam.
Eddie Vedder's voice is so, it gets down to a level of your soul. It's just piercing. It's haunting and dark. And he connects. Every single time he sings a song, he connects.
Yeah.
And I just think he did a wonderful job. It's interesting, though, watching the video, they didn't show any artists. They didn't show Tom Petty. They didn't show Prince.
No.
David Bowie died last
Prince
year.
Was the year before.
Oh, okay. Maybe
Bowie was the year before. There were some people omitted, though.
Yeah. So I was wondering, like, because they played the Tom Petty song, but they didn't show a picture of him. Yeah. I didn't know how they choose who they show. I guess it was the year before. I was thinking of Prince and Bowie. But I guess
every year they forget people. Yeah.
They're doing the best they can. But I thought the Tom Petty song was wonderful.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah,
great. It fit really well with that moment. No. But Eddie Vedder killed that, bro.
Oh, man.
I sent you
Eddie Vedder is something else.
And then, that's it for the Oscars. And we got one more thing here on our entertainment bookend. And then we'll wrap up and get
into it.
You're
not going to talk about the In Memoriam on the Razzies?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one. Go ahead.
The Razzies did an In
Memoriam.
Memoriam. But they played the music and they had the pictures coming up, but they showed like Harvey Weinstein.
Oh no.
And Kevin Spacey. Nice. And they showed all the people, like even Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
They showed all the
people. Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's terrible, but also it's like, wow. Like,
yeah, I mean, their career is dead. So
exactly. So I just thought that was it's comedic, but it's also an interesting twist. It's an interesting look. At, you know, like you said, these guys, their career is over because of what's happening.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was an interesting play on that.
No, that's true. You know? All right, last thing on entertainment booking. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Grease is coming back to theaters.
For the
40th anniversary.
Get a one that I want.
How do you feel about Grease? Where do you put Grease? You do musicals.
As far as I don't watch a lot of musicals.
No, okay.
First and foremost.
All right.
But as far as classic musicals are concerned, yeah. Grease has to be number one.
Well, my thing is, why
Grease
were...
Grease is the word.
Grease is great, but why were Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta like 40 years old in it? They were supposed to be in high school.
They were wonderful.
I always thought that was weird.
Did you know John Travolta?
Weird casting.
John Travolta.
There were no 17-year-olds you could have cast that.
John Travolta played Kinnicky on Broadway, and Kinnicky played Danny Zuko on Broadway.
I didn't know that.
Switched.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's Danny Zuko. I hope I'm accurate here. Tweet at me if I'm not, folks.
Yes.
But I think John Travolta played Kinnicky on Broadway. Either that or Kinnicky played Danny Zuko on Broadway.
I honestly didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really weird. Yes. So Grease will return to theaters for two nights only.
Grease is
Saturday.
The word. What do you like? Do you like
or I'm
night?
Sorry, Sunday, April 8th and Wednesday, April 11th. At over 700 locations nationwide. The Turner Classic Movies host Ben Mankiewicz, I think I'm saying that right, is going to be doing a special commentary before and after the film.
Who is that?
He's the host of Turner Classic Movies. Okay. Primetime. So Grease coming back to theaters if you want to check it out on the big screen.
Grease is the word.
I'm like, I mean, my wife, you know, works on musicals occasionally and I get to see some because of that.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of Wicked. You know,
Wicked is great.
The Wizard of Oz spinoff and Grease is great. I don't know. I've never really been a big musicals guy.
Yeah. I love Grease.
Yeah, Grease is good. I just don't know why they were so old in it. Like, who's the girl that gets pregnant?
Rizzo.
Rizzo. She's like 40.
Yes.
What? Like, what's the big deal? You're 40. Get pregnant.
In the casting, they were in high school.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little.
The characters were in high school.
But they're old people. You know what I mean? In the movie.
I love
it. It's a weird casting.
Great movie.
Now, with that being said, Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
Isn't it the most, to say the least?
Iconic.
The
very least. You know. All right, Grease Lightning, brother. Okay, let's take our first promo break, Andy, and we'll run that promo for a show that we love, and then we'll come back, and we'll get into our one deep topic.
So it's time to get deep.
It's not, well, definitely this week because of Stormy Daniels.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to have several. We'll have several pun jokes. Don't worry.
Okay,
we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi. This is Hannah from the Film Rose Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jen.
My name's Vanessa.
Hi, my name is Stacy, and I listen to Our Americana because it reminds me how important community is.
Because it tells the stories of people and places in small-town America that we'd never get to hear about anywhere else.
I love hearing about parts of our country that I didn't even know existed.
And the reason I listen to Our Americana is for the stories. Stories of average Americans, stories that I otherwise may have never heard.
I liked hearing about the younger generation moving back home to these small towns or moving out of these big cities because they were so passionate about community.
The podcast has definitely inspired me to want to visit America. Despite being such a huge nation, it is clearly the people and communities which give it its heart and soul.
Not only is Josh a great narrator, but he's a great listener. He's very good at capturing the essence of people and the essence of a small town.
Our Americana changes the way I look at America. It's not just my little town with my little struggles.
Josh tells stories I didn't even know I needed to hear and gives small town America a platform to shine.
Welcome back in, everyone.
I am the Rain King.
Yeah, you are. Back in 2006, Trump was. Episode 64, Two Peas. Gerald and Andy are here, and we are discussing the topics of the week.
Yes.
And as we do every week, we get into our one deep topic for about 20 minutes or so here in the heart of the show. And, and this week, let me just tell everyone, and then we can go nuts. Again, I'm going to try to limit the puns, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
I mean, it's because it's.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
It's so easy.
I feel bad for Stormy too, because she's a respectable woman. Why am I making all these jokes?
You know.
But real quick, the one deep topic for this week is the Stormy Daniels and Trump scandal. I'll call it. It's been going on for a while actually, but it kind of came to a head again. I'm not trying to. That was literally not meant to be.
You can't.
I literally was not meant to be a joke.
You can't help it.
You say stuff like this is what's the, I can't say come to a head. So what do I say? Yes, this is
came to fruition.
Came to light.
To light
in the last week, yes. Because of a lawsuit
you
that
know,
she filed.
Something came up.
So, all right. So for those that don't know and don't know why we're joking like this. There's an adult film star, a porn star. Her name is Stormy. She goes by Stormy Daniels.
That's her screen name.
That's her screen yes. name, so to speak.
Her screen name.
So she basically filed a lawsuit this week, a civil okay. lawsuit
well,
against
Trump. Well,
start
at the beginning. Start at the beginning. So, because what's been happening?
Well, okay. Well, they had a alleged affair.
Okay.
In 2006, which was
2006, which a little
was,
while ago,
which was while he was married to Melania,
got it,
the first lady,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a year after Barron was born.
Apparently, it lasted a couple months or something like that, yep. almost a year.
Yeah.
But then, right before the election, right before the
in
campaign,
October, in October, right before the election,
right before the election, apparently,
yep.
she was paid $130,000.
That's accurate.
To not say anything. By, what's it called, a gag order?
Yeah. Or by Trump's attorney.
By Trump's attorney
at the time.
So that's the things that's been coming out. Lately, is that what's going on? Was she paid this money? How did it leak in the first place? I don't know who did she leak it or how did it come out in the first place? I wonder.
Honestly, I don't. That's a good question. Honestly, don't know how it came out or initially.
Because she didn't say anything initially because she wasn't talking about it.
Right, right, right. Well, okay. So the former attorney's name is Michael Aventai.
Okay,
and he appeared on the Today Show after there was a lawsuit filed against Trump on behalf that seeks to release her from the agreement that she signed to keep quiet.
Okay.
So,
and the attorney has already said that he paid her of his own money.
Yes.
So we all know that she's been paid
yes.
to be quiet.
Yes.
Which kind of, which would make one assume that the affair happened.
But Trump continues to deny it.
Yes.
So
even though the lawyer's like, yeah, I paid her.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you paying her if nothing happened?
Right. So Savannah Guthrie over on the Today Show says, let's not bother to be delicate. Did she have a sexual relationship with the president? And Aventai says firmly, yes.
Aventai is her lawyer. Stormy
right,
Daniels' lawyer.
Right, right. Despite the fact that she originally denied having an affair with the president, Trump has also denied having a relationship with the actress. So she initially denied it.
Well, of course she did. Because she was paid
he's
to.
Denying it. Or he's always denied it. But, you know, what's interesting here is he didn't sign the disclosure agreement.
Yeah, that's why she's suing him.
And that's why she's suing
signed
him.
An agreement, but he never signed
because
it.
Because apparently, and people suspect, she wants to talk about it, brother. Because obviously, the more she talks about it, the more money she's probably going to get.
Yes.
Magazines and tabloids and whoever's going to pay her.
You know, that's true.
To talk
that's
about
true.
It.
That's true.
So she wants to talk about it, but doesn't want to get in trouble for talking about it. So now she's saying, you didn't sign this order, bro. So this isn't valid. So she's filed a lawsuit.
She also,
basically
I think
saying
she
that.
Also said, I'll give the money back.
Did she?
Like the $130,000.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But do you honestly, real quick, do you think that she wants to talk about it just so she can get more money and get all the tabloids and all that stuff? Or do you think or do you think there is some air or some kind of level of honesty? Like, I want this to be out there. I want to tell my story. I want people to know what Trump did or what we did. I want, you know, do you think there's anything?
I think she doesn't probably
about that.
I don't think she has any allegiance towards him. And okay. I think that she probably feels used. And I think she okay. is probably pissed to a certain extent because her name's getting slandered everywhere because yeah. of this, especially by Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she probably wants to in some way try to clear her name a little bit mm-hmm. and say, hey, I wouldn't lie about this, you know?
Because I always feel like anytime there's like a cloud of distrust around you, I feel like there's always some part of you that wants the, quote, truth to come out.
Right.
Anytime you're getting your name's getting thrown around at all, I mean, there's always a part that says, I just want the truth to get out. I feel right. like.
I mean, it's 12 years ago. So it's
it
like.
Is a while. I mean, I'm
so
sure
it's like, I mean, Bill Clinton was, he was cheating on left and right. Yeah. I mean, you know, he was a womanizer. Everybody knows that. It was well documented. You know, so if this was consensual, it was 12 years ago. It's not like there was any crimes committed here.
Yeah.
It's just, it just adds to the air of embarrassment in the office of the president.
And that's,
in my opinion.
In my opinion as well, because we've had controversies with other presidents. We've had scandals with other presidents. Like you said, Bill Clinton, that was a huge scandal.
Right.
It's just, with Trump, there's just a whole, it's the Russia thing. It's the affair thing. It's the firing of people. It's the hiring of people. It's the inability to answer any questions directly. It's, you know, it's just, and it's him just absolutely denying everything. So it's just, there's this huge cloud. So I think why people are so attracted to the Stormy Daniels story is they want somewhere, somebody in some capacity who has anything to do with this president to bring something to light and have something that we're actually sure about. Because we're not sure about anything when it comes to him. Because right. all he does is deny everything and they don't answer any questions.
Well, Cohen, I don't remember his first name, but Cohen was an advisor for Trump that resigned a couple days ago. And he's the one that it's suspected actually gave her the money.
Because he said he did, didn't he?
He was a conduit. He was kind of like a middleman. He was the one that actually delivered the money to Stormy Daniels. And he has recently resigned from office, which, by the way, Trump's got... I mean, every couple months somebody leaves.
Of course. I mean, how can you stand that? But didn't Cohen say that he actually, but it was his money?
Was it his money or the attorney's? I don't know.
Oh, Cohen's not the attorney.
No. Cohen is like a financial advisor
for
Trump.
I thought one of the guys said that, it was my money.
It may have been.
But I paid her.
Well, I know Cohen's the one that gave her the money.
Okay.
As far as whose money it was either Cohen's or the attorney's. I'm not sure.
And did you know the money was flagged by the bank?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was in one of the stories. Like I said, who knows what's actually factual, but apparently from one of the stories, it said when the transfer was made, that the bank that the transfer was made in, or the wire transfer was made through,
right,
flagged it as suspicious and reported it to the Treasury Department.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's $130
$130,000
coming from a guy connected to the guy who's
running for president. Right.
They flagged it. So that's interesting as well. I just wanted to put that out there.
So let me just look at... So what do you think of... did you see Sarah Sanders, the press secretary's response? I mean, what do you... How long is she going to last?
She's a lot better at... what's the last guy's name?
Spicer.
She's a lot better at Spicer because Spicer got drawn in by the media and felt the need to explain himself away and explain Trump. She...
Well, some would argue he did a better job then.
Well, she... But as far as working for Trump, she's just... I mean, she's up there. She's kind of leaning on the desk. She's cold and calculated. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm not talking about that.
Right.
No, it's already been... She answered the same question over again. When they ask about, well, what's going on with the money? She says, it's already been decided in arbitration. You need to ask his lawyers about
it. Yeah, let me tell you about that real quick.
She said it over and over again.
So,
they said, well, what do you mean arbitration?
That's
what
I'm saying.
Trump's not involved. There's no arbitration.
Well, here's the quote.
What are you talking about?
Here's the quote. I've had conversations with the president about this, and as I outlined earlier, this case has already been won in arbitration. It's unclear what Sanders was referring to because Trump is not listed on a party on any restraining order issued by an arbitration judge. Ask about that comment, Aventi, the ex-attorney. When he was asked about that comment, he said, yeah, and Trump won the popular vote, too. Unquote. Sarcasm. But
that's the thing about... That's what I would think being in the media or asking anybody in that organization questions, especially the press secretary whose job it is to dodge, I guess. It's not supposed to be her job, but that's what she does.
Right.
It'd be so frustrating because you just want a straight answer. Like all you have to do is say, you know what? This never happened. I don't know why that money was given to her. No one knows why. You know, we've answered that question. But instead, there's this whole cloud. Because here's the thing. Here's the big question on my mind, and I think the world's mind at this point. Why was $130,000 given to Stormy Daniels?
Right.
To hush her.
And that's not one of those things.
We know the agreement's out there. We know that someone gave her money to say anything.
That's
so right there, like...
Do you ever...
Trump, why... If these are your people, if you don't know anything about this, then you need to be angry that, dude, why are you giving a porn star $130,000 in my name?
Exactly.
Like, I would say, I'd get on the public right away. Fired that guy because I have no idea why he's giving her money.
Do you ever see Trump going on camera or an interview or...
Tweeting.
Even written interview, anything like that. Do you ever see him saying the words, I'm sorry I made a mistake... ...
You
and
mean
whatever it
you
is.
Mean taking responsibility?
Like, has he done? He hasn't done that, right? Seriously, correct. Forgive me if he has, but he hasn't done that, right?
And it works. How long has he been president?
Like a year and a few months.
It works, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it works among his base.
Dodging works for the whole thing because eventually you just get sick of asking.
Yeah,
like all of it's like, who knows if anything will ever happen with the Russia stuff because all they do is dodge.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, the whole administration's one big cloud. You have no idea what's going on.
Now, I think from a corruption standpoint, the Russia thing is going to be what ultimately brings him down.
You think so?
Or we're going to get to 2020. I mean, whatever happens first. But I think the Russia thing is, from a corruption standpoint and from a legal standpoint, is where he's going to get hurt the most. This is just a sex scandal. where he had an affair and he's trying to hide it.
And I think you were absolutely right when you said that the reason this, quote, sex scandal is so important is that it just goes on the back of everything else.
Right, right. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because it's all this
stuff. Did you see Seth Meyers' thing he did this week? A closer look that you love?
Yes, I did. I love a closer look.
He starts out and he's like, we're going to review Trump's week. You know, Russia scandal, the resigning of Cohen, and being sued by a porn star. You know, presidential stuff.
Exactly.
And that's what it's come to, brother. Yeah. It's like... Nobody, I don't say nobody, but most people don't, we're not talking about government policies.
No, we're not.
We're not talking about healthcare. We're not talking about tax reform. Like, we're talking about porn star lawsuits.
But even
this is the president,
even
brother.
Even the policy stuff is also clouded because recently this week, a couple of days ago or maybe yesterday, he talked about North and South Korea.
Yeah.
No one really knew what he's talking about. North Korea.
I saw that too.
Yeah, we had a conversation. he called, we had a conversation.
Yeah.
He says, hey, I want to have a conversation. I said, well, you have to denuke first. You have to denuke first.
I saw that
and
too.
And then you find out later, was he talking about South Korea?
He's talking about South Korea, yeah.
It's like the whole thing is clouded. Like,
but I saw that too.
When he was first running for president, I talked about, and maybe when he became president, we had this conversation. I talked about, as the voice of the nation, you have to be very specific with what you say.
Right.
With what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Because the whole world's listening.
I mean, why do you have speech writers?
Exactly.
I mean,
you know, you have to be like, you take a moment. When someone asks you a question, you can be patient. You can let me take a moment and think about this so I can give you an answer, or I can say, well, I need to think about that and respond later. I mean, you're the president.
I never got your
words matter.
I never got to ask you the question I was going to ask you earlier, and I don't want to forget because we're going to be out of time in a few minutes. Did you, how long is Huckabee Sanders going to last, you think, Sarah Sanders? Because she's female. So these are not favorable stories for the female community, right?
Honestly, no, honestly, you're right.
You know, the Access Hollywood bus is one thing, which he got elected after that. So I don't know what he's going to do that's going to upset enough people. But I don't know.
Is Kellyanne Conway still?
She's still an advisor as well. I just feel almost like, it's like I want to feel bad for her, but it's like she keeps doing it. You know, like we kind of felt bad for Spicy, you know, when he'd get up there.
Well,
he's got to explain all this stuff.
Well, kind of what I said earlier, I feel like Spicy actually tried.
Right.
Like, he was trying to answer questions. Every once in a while, he'd flub up and say, oh, I'm sorry. I felt like there was a little bit more of a warmth to him because he actually had a dialogue
going
on.
That's true.
With her, I feel like, and honestly, this is not, I'm not talking about her character and who she is as a person, but it seems like in order to do her job, she has become completely detached.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch her, there's no expression.
Yeah.
She's just, I am here to deliver this, and I will answer the questions I want to answer, and I won't answer. So with that in mind, she could probably last for a while knowing that I'm just, like, I'm detached. Because she is. She seems so, like, dude, whatever.
I talked
about that,
I know.
If you love America.
I don't know. I was going to do, like, the over-under on if she's going to be the next one to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
I think she'll be there for a while. That's true.
I mean, right? I mean, could you imagine being Trump's press
secretary?
And
this week, somebody else came out this week, started talking about the Russia thing, one of his old advisors.
You're talking about Scaramucci.
Yeah.
The Mooch
came out this week, was talking about, I mean, they asked me a bunch of questions, and it's weird because he almost sounded half drunk the whole time. However, because of that, he was very, very honest. Like, I mean, I think they probably have something on him. I mean, I don't think he knew about anything. But
no, you're talking about that. Yeah. That wasn't Scaramucci. No. Scaramucci did come out, though. But you're talking about
another one.
He was talking on CNN, but you're talking about, I can't remember his name. I'm going to have to look it up.
One of his advisors.
Yeah, but I saw that interview
where
the girl asked him if he'd been drinking.
Yeah.
In the interview.
Yeah, but he was in a bunch of interviews.
I can't remember his name either.
He said, I've been with Trump for years and years and years.
Yeah, but he was real kind of vague.
Yeah,
he was
very
vague. He was like, something happened, and they're like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I can't tell you but something. And everybody's like, okay, well, we fucking know that. It's like,
but so many people are coming out of the White House and leaving that situation. And, you know, just, it's just a cloud of mystery. It's one thing I've
heard. How do you, let's wrap up the Stormy Daniels. Let's wrap it up for Stormy Daniels. Wow. I told you I had a few more in my pocket there. So how does this scandal, if you will, fit into the year and a half of Trump that we've had thus
like
far?
A puzzle piece.
Yeah, it's just another
like
thing.
I'm not surprised at all.
Okay.
When it came out,
does this bother you more or the Russia stuff?
Oh.
As an American citizen.
Well, of course the Russia thing is more important and more it affects our country more.
My thing with this is this doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
And what bothers me more is that he's just acting like it didn't happen. It's like, just own up to it, brother.
The main thing.
Honestly, and the same thing could be said about Clinton. Like when Clinton was like, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, infamously. You did, bro. Like just apologize. Accept the consequences. Yeah. You're still the president.
Yeah.
People might think you're a skeezball.
Yeah.
But you're still going to be able to, quote, do your job.
Well, and also, so move Clinton, past it. Clinton, you know what I mean? Was such a great president, in my opinion. That,
me too.
That scandal gets put in context. That's the one thing in his, I mean, of course, there's probably other things, but that's within the context of his presidency.
Yeah.
But with the Trump thing, I think you're right. The thing that bothers me the most is the lack of clarity, his inability to take responsibility for anything, and just the absolute denial in the face of whatever kind of evidence. Like, and, you know, the press secretary is the same way. When something is asked, like, we've heard this, 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 and this. We have this, this, and this, and this evidence. They just ignore it.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't.
Well, to wrap up on it.
That's wrong.
I mean, to wrap up on it. To wrap up on it for me, I mean, for me, it just adds to the embarrassment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's like the story itself. I mean, you know, like I said, if let's say Obama had had an affair and it had come out and he admitted it, like, oh my God, yeah, I did do that. I regret it. You know, I've come to terms with Michelle with it. Like, whatever he says.
Yeah.
I mean, people would have probably looked at him like less respectfully.
Of course.
But he still would have been able to carry on the office of president. He could have, quote, put it behind him, gotten rid of the scandal. Like, I did it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to do this now.
Yeah.
You know, that was 12 years ago in my past. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. Now let's move forward.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he would have lost a lot of the popular vote, so to speak. But Trump's not doing it. Trump just lets this shit float out there and then he'll put on Twitter fake news.
Baggage.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a great point. Baggage. When these things don't get dealt with, when you keep dodging and you keep dodging and you keep dodging, what happens is baggage piles up.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with this administration is that there's so much baggage around
it. It's literally just piling up.
Because nothing ever gets dealt with.
And they don't take, or Trump at least, does not take ownership of any of it.
So now there's the Russia thing.
Everything
now
that's been reported.
Hiring and firing. Now there's the North Korea thing. Now there's the porn star. And none of it ever gets dealt with.
And the NRA. I mean, everything that's being mentioned, he just like, I don't know, bro. Fake news.
I don't know, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
I see him saying that, dude. I don't know, bro.
It's like, take ownership of some stuff, bro.
Yes.
All this is made up. All of it?
You've done nothing.
All of it's made up.
I'm a target.
All right. So that's our Stormy Daniels discussion for this week. We got to wrap up. Hey, we bring new meaning to the term one deep topic. Stormy
Daniels this week. But let us
we
just
took
say,
it a little literally this week.
Respect Stormy Daniels. Yeah, we respect
absolutely.
Her profession and her choice.
In fact, her name is, what's her name? Stephanie.
Her toy choice.
Stephanie. Her
I
toy.
Said her toys.
Her toy.
Her choice.
We're getting into her toys?
To be in that profession. What's her name? Stormy, if you're listening, we respect you.
Stephanie Clifford.
And we just want the truth to come out. Just, you know, own it. Stormy, own it and be you, girl.
Stephanie
you,
Clifford girl. Is her real name.
Stephanie, be you.
Stephanie Clifford.
Be you.
Stormy Daniels.
Be you.
All right, let's take our last promo break, Andy, and then when we come back, we got some fun pop culture stuff to discuss.
Let's do it.
Sit tight.
I will.
Do you like podcasts?
Do you like listening to podcasts?
Do you have ears?
Do you like Justin and Chrissy?
That's our names.
I know. We have a podcast. It's called So I Married a Movie Geek.
Check out this clip where we talked Star Wars sex.
This is, I don't know how to explain this articulately, but the what quote unquote gives me lady boners as far as this goes is not a person and not like, especially not like a guy or, you know, like Harrison Ford or Luke or, you know, even if I swung the other way and said, ooh, Leia.
What do you want? What do you want, Sash? Two Ewoks like stacked on top of each other?
I mean,
little double Ewoks.
If I were going to go that route, I would just go for Chewbacca. Like, why do I need two stacked on top of each other when I can have Chewbacca?
So you like movies? Do you like good times? Check us out. We're So I Married a Movie Geek at Movie Geekcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, all those other things. We'll see you at the movies.
Welcome back in, everyone.
Hey, we're
to
back.
Episode 64.
64.
You're good at that Spanish.
See?
I can't do that.
See?
See.
Hablo español.
I can't do it. I can say hola.
That's good.
And
that's
good. Donde está la biblioteca?
Oh, where's the library?
I can say that as well.
See, yes.
That's about it, though.
Yes.
I guess about it. You're impressed?
Yeah, I am.
So let's see. We got some pop culture stuff to wrap up on here, brother.
I love the pop culture.
So I sent you this one last night. You don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything.
I asked you, and you said, no, break it to me gently. So here we go.
Okay. Slowly.
So now I have to say this.
You have to say her
quietly.
Name quietly.
I have to say this quietly, especially after you hear this story.
Wonderful.
So okay. You know the Alexa.
Shh.
The Amazon.
She's listening.
The Amazon Alexa.
She's listening.
I know she is. but the Echo. I'll say Echo.
Okay.
So the Amazon Echo.
Yes, I know the Echo. Okay. I have one. I love
it. So listen to this story, bro.
My kids drive it crazy.
So listen to this story. Tell your kids this and your and Becky when you get back home. Okay. So Amazon Echo users are reporting that Alexa, the virtual personal assistant that comes with several devices in the line, sometimes has been breaking into an unprompted fit of laughter, sometimes at inappropriate times.
You are kidding. No way.
The apparent malfunction seems to have first come to light in February when videos of it spontaneously started popping up on Twitter of Alexa producing childlike cackle.
That is creepy.
Is this fucking a horror movie right here, brother?
That is creepy.
Child's laughter for no reason. For no reason. How do you feel about it? Does that make you feel any way about your Alexa?
There has to be a common denominator here. Like, what's going on in each of these situations? What's the common denominator? What's causing this? Because mine has never laughed.
I don't know, bro. But could you imagine just like sitting there reading a book in the middle of the night? And I mean, I was freaked out reading this.
Yeah.
I just said, nope. All right, we're talking about robots.
Okay.
How about this one, buddy? All right. You probably did see this one. Did you see the video I sent you of Flippy?
Flippy the flipping robot, yeah.
The burger flipping robot.
Yes. That doesn't seem too...
That seems okay to you.
But honestly,
well, you work in a restaurant, so I was going to ask.
It seems like they have flipping robots for years now.
Oh, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you a little bit.
A hamburger? I mean, come on.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about... Okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit about why this kind of fucked with me a little bit.
Okay, tell me.
But let me tell everyone what the story real quick. So it's the world's first autonomous kitchen assistant.
Okay.
It is currently residing in Cali Burger, which is a fast food restaurant in Pasadena, California.
Ooh, Cali.
We have some listeners out there in California.
I wonder
if they've hit this spot up
yet. Yeah, check it out. Tweet us. Facebook us.
It combines 3D thermal and regular vision to detect when raw patties are placed on the grill. It also alerts the staff when they are ready to be dressed with condiments. It can also clean the grill and switch spatulas as needed on its own.
That's cool.
This doesn't bother you?
No. Because
usually you get kind of weird about the technology stuff.
Well, I mean, I think we rely on technology way too much.
I mean, we've discussed that robots are going to kill us, though, right?
Eventually.
Like, you know that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, what do you put a timeline on that? What are you, 100 years?
Not that long.
Really? You think the human race is gone within 100 years?
Nonetheless.
This is breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Andy thinks the human race will no longer be on the earth in what? 70
gone.
Years? What
is
it?
The human race is not gone, but definitely a
subservient.
Yeah. But I don't know.
You think we'll ever have a robot president?
No.
That might be an improvement, actually, what we're going through now. Okay. Here's what messed with me. So I work in an establishment. I'm not going to name it just because I don't want to. But I work in an establishment where we do like counter service. It's a quick casual restaurant.
Okay. Quick casual.
So somebody orders it.
I can come in my flip-flops.
Well, that's not what I meant. But yes, you absolutely can. But anyway, somebody comes up to the counter and orders it, and we make it in front of them.
You do.
Okay. And we chop the ingredients in front of them. There is no reason why we couldn't have 4 or 5 robots on the line doing this.
Yes. But you'd miss that personal touch. See, with the robot
in the
back.
Is that the thing with you?
With the robot in the back cooking the burgers, I guess that's okay. That's like a fryer. You press the button on the fryer.
So
the fryer,
you
fryer. But I want to. I
have
want
an attachment to the interaction. Okay, see, I don't want to talk.
You want the car to deliver the pizza?
Exactly.
Don't talk to me, pizza man. Don't talk to me, pizza man.
But now, you know, there are places where it's the same concept as the one I just described, but you can literally go in and press a button and it comes out like a vending machine.
Don't you want people?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the future, bro. I'm just telling you right now. That we don't need these fucking people, buddy. We could have robots developed.
Wow. You should write, Mark, you should be a marketing for like a robot company. And that should be the tagline. We don't need you fucking people.
We don't need you people. We have robots.
Yeah.
So
just have you up there smiling with a bunch of robots on a billboard. One of the three billboards in this Arkansas town. What is it, Arkansas?
Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes. And just saying, we don't need you people.
We're advertising Ebbing, Missouri.
G-Robotics. We don't need you people.
Dude, I don't know. I just see it's coming down the line, brother.
What's coming? Of course. You know, automated machines and robots will do more and more and more and more and more and more and more.
And there's self-driving cars now.
As long as we don't
become
reliant on
them. They're flying cars now from Uber.
And we realize that there's something about the human touch. There's something about it. Because a human painting is not perfect. A human chair is not perfect.
So if you're at a restaurant.
There's something about what we do.
If you're at a restaurant.
Yes, sir.
And you go, and I'm talking about a full service restaurant.
Full service.
You go in with your wife. You go out to date night. You go sit down at a table. You get a booth.
Yeah, come talk to me.
You want a server. To walk up to you and interact with you.
Yes.
So you're there for the food or the service or both?
I'm there for the food.
So that's what I'm saying. So this robot rolls up to you.
I love serving people.
You know what? Actually, fuck that. Some restaurants do that. No, seriously. Some restaurants have that kiosk thing on the table now.
I like the kiosk.
So you just press the button, bring me a burger. You pay your check. You fucking leave. You don't need to talk to anybody. The only thing you need a server for is to refill the tea.
I have served people in restaurants
now
for 15 years.
I know, and you do an amazing job at it.
But there's something about the interaction. Like, I care about customers.
I feel that, brother.
I care about them.
And you're amazing
that,
at it.
In a way that a robot can't.
You're one of the best people I've ever had the pleasure of working for me. You do an amazing job at that.
Thank you,
but at the same time, you could fucking be replaced with a robot tomorrow. I'm just telling you. We could make that robot charismatic and we could have him care about people too. Telling you that.
It's kind of cold out there. Perhaps I could get you a cup of coffee, huh? Warm me up at date night. Feeling kind of lucky, Governor?
We got a couple more and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
Let's see. I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but did you see the clip I sent you of a gentleman that goes by the Mountain?
No.
He's from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
he's
the Mountain.
Giant bodybuilder.
Does he actually play a mountain on the show?
No, that's just his. Well, he could. But his name is the Mountain on the show.
What does he play in the show? What's he do?
The Mountain. He's the bodyguard for the queen. Cersei.
Cersei's bodyguard.
He's like her personal bodyguard.
She hired a mountain.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And you can see why he has that nickname. But Icelandic actor and super strong man. I'm gonna fuck this up. Hafþór Björnsson.
No, that's brilliant. Hafþór
plays the Mountain on Game of Thrones. Okay. So he was competing in the 2018 Arnold Strongman Classic.
So not only is he an accomplished actor now, but he's also in strongman competitions.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
How does that make you feel about your life?
I need to work out, brother. That makes me feel. I need to walk to my mailbox a little more often.
So every time you put a cookie to your mouth, like move the hand to the mouth four or five times.
Yeah, I could break the record for the number of Oreos lifted in a single time. But what he did is he set the world record for the raw deadlift. Guess how much he lifted?
Raw deadlift is when you just go down.
You literally just pick it up, brother. How much did you pick up? Give me a number.
1,000 pounds.
Wow, that's a good guess. Yeah. I actually don't know what the previous record was, but he lifted 1,041 pounds.
One
deadlifted.
Like I was just kind of kidding, but 1,000 pounds. That's like a car.
Just straight up lifted it, bro.
Jeez.
And smiled. Did you see it? Did you see the video?
No.
He lifted it up, just smiled like he was holding a feather, and he just dropped it.
That'd be
1,000 pounds, brother.
That's a lot.
Like that's a fucking
like
lot,
two Gerald's.
Right?
That's like two Gerald's.
That's at least three of me, dude. Come on. But I'm just saying, that impressed me. I don't really care about like weightlift. I don't even know what it means, really. You know, I had those little dumbbells that are like fucking 2 pounds, a little purple ones.
Deadlift? Where do they get all the bodies from? That's just weird.
Now, if we're talking about the shake weight, I get into that, brother. I really do the shake weight. That really helps me work out. But as far as 1,000 pounds deadlifting, no shot. I couldn't even deadlift 10.41 pounds, let alone 1,041. Were you impressed by that, though?
Old man Olympics.
Were you impressed by that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Gerald's coming up here with 10.41 pounds.
He's coming up to lift his cane. Cane is made of pure mahogany. It's going to be a tough one for him.
What do you think, Gene?
Last year he had bamboo.
Cane of pure mahogany, and it's a beautiful choice there.
Last year he had bamboo, and he barely got it up over his head.
The slippers with the Velcro? Slippers with the Velcro.
Look at those corduroy slippers with socks. He really came in uniform today, Jim. All right, back to you, Steve. Okay, let's see. The last one, and then I got a loop for you that goes in conjunction with this. And you are a deep guy, so I'm very excited to see what comes off the top of your head for this loop.
Goodness.
But the story, real quick, is on the coast of Australia.
Okay.
The world's oldest message in a bottle was just found.
Interesting.
It was discarded 132 years ago into the ocean.
Wow, that's a long time.
And it was found half buried on a beach by a family in Australia. And the date on the letter was June 12th, 1886.
What was on the message?
It was one of thousands of messages thrown into the ocean at that time by German scientists who were studying ocean currents.
That's a lot of litter.
It's interesting to me that's how they used to have to study the ocean, though.
That's
there are fucking bottles out there and see where they show up. Okay, well, this one's going east. All right, fair enough.
Honestly, if you think about it, that's actually a pretty good idea, I guess.
But, yeah, I guess it's a good idea, but we have a little more advanced ways to find that shit out now.
Yeah. You think they've been waiting for this information? They finally got the information. We finally know what the current is doing.
You seem like you guys out enjoying the weather often and
I love the
nature
weather.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you're walking on the beach, you excited by this? If you find like a message in a bottle?
I think so,
it's exciting, right?
I think it's very exciting.
So listen to your loop then. You ready?
Okay.
Do you have anything to say about the story before I give you your loop?
I think it's cool. I think it would have been cooler if it was like an actual message.
Yeah, like you written to his lover or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
No, I feel that, brother.
You know.
So here, but I got one for you that you can make up for that, though.
Okay.
And I'm an idiot, but I literally, I don't know if listeners believe this. I think you believe me, but I literally write down the first thing that comes to my mind. I think of the question.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that comes to my mind.
Basically, because I don't have very many multi-thoughts very often. But I think of the loop, and then I'm like, okay, and I write down.
I usually do the same thing.
All right, here we go.
In the moment.
Here we go.
My mind is blank. I'm looking at
you. So here's your loop. Here's your loop. If you could write down one message and place it in a bottle to be found in the future, what would it say?
I would write, you are okay. So that the person who finds that letter, no matter what they're doing.
You're deep, bro.
That they would pick that up, they'd open it up, and they'd realize that they're okay. Just the way they are.
I think that'd freak me out.
What they're doing.
Because I'd read it and I'd go, am I? Who the fuck is this guy? How does he know?
Exactly.
He doesn't know me.
You are okay.
I'm not okay.
You Gerald,
I'd freak out.
You are okay.
It's like Good Will Hunting. It's not your fault.
It's not exactly. It's not your fault.
Back me into a corner.
It's not your fault.
You are okay.
You are okay.
Well, here's mine, brother. And again, I just thought of this. It's actually kind of beautiful now that I look at it.
Okay.
But I put, life is short. Enjoy life. Keep taking these walks on the beach. Is that stupid or what? If you read that, you'd probably throw it back in the air.
No, that's wonderful.
You'd be like,
because the reason you're at, the reason you find the bottle is because you're on the beach. You're like, yeah, keep taking these walks. That's wonderful. Well done.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought of.
Done.
The world's oldest message in a bottle, brother. And I'm the world's oldest podcast host. And I'm throw it over to my buddy
Mahogany cane and, what'd you say, corduroy slippers with the Velcro.
Always. I'm going to throw it over to my partner, Andy, to give us, as he always does, to wrap us up, his final thought for episode 64, Andy.
Check it out, folks. Emotional baggage comes from not dealing with, from not taking responsibility and dealing with and assimilating and actually examining yourself and what things happen to you. Everything that comes to you, you need to accept with open arms and take responsibility for the things you do, and then you can leave those things behind and move forward. Don't let baggage pile up on you. Take responsibility, own it, learn from it, and move forward.
Excess baggage. You don't need it. You don't need it, Andy. Episode 64 is in the books. Andy, we will return next week for the people.
We
also want to make a quick announcement that our Patreon site has got the bonus episodes blowing up.
Blowing up, son!
All our patrons know about that, but if you're not, check out the information in the show notes. For as little as $1, brother.
What?
You can get access to all these bonus episodes.
Dude,
we're doing our 1980s edition right now.
That's crazy.
1980s edition right now. And I'm recording 1980s TV theme songs tomorrow.
Ooh.
With a couple of our podcast friends.
TV in the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, we're moving on up.
You got some good ones?
To the east side.
That's a good one, brother. That's a good one. I've been working on my list. I'll see what I come up with. Until next week. Until next week, we do episode 65. Andy, I will see you then. Go finish your Stormy Daniels viewing. And we'll see you next week.
I'll be here next week.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.